Marc Padmer, Sie kommen zum ersten Mal nach Heidelberg. Also ist die Gelegenheit, glaube ich, ganz günstig, dass wir ein bisschen erfahren, wie Ihre musikalische Karriere angefangen hat. Soweit ich weiß, war das erste Instrument die Klarinette und nicht die Stimme.
Yes, in fact, I was given a blockflöte by Father Christmas when I was 4. And I really enjoyed learning this little instrument. And then continued with the clarinet with a very good youth orchestra in Kent. And that was really my big musical education, playing in an orchestra. But I realized from that I didn't want to become a professional orchestral player. So I then decided to try and take singing more seriously. But it's been a very slow development over many years.
Und wann war die Klarinette dann endgültig aus, als Sie schon Karriere als Sänger gemacht haben?
Well, I really stopped playing clarinet from about the age of 18 when I went to university. I sang in the choir of King's College, Cambridge. You were singing 6 days a week in services, and there didn't seem to be time to practice clarinet as well. So that got dropped. And really from that point on, I concentrated on singing. And when I left university, I quickly became involved with professional choirs like the English choirs and worked with people like Roger Norrington and with Trevor Pinnock and with Andrew Parrott.
Die Tradition in England, was Chorsingen anbetrifft, ist ja sehr groß.
The choral tradition is very strong. I began to work as a professional singer not with a particularly strong voice, but much more with good musicianship. And then the voice has developed slowly, you know, over the years.
Sie waren eine Zeit lang auch Mitglied im Hilliard Ensemble, wo ja auf jede Stimme besonders geachtet werden kann im Publikum. War das auch noch eine gute Schule dann?
I loved singing with the Hilliard Ensemble. They did an extraordinary repertoire from very early music, but also quite a lot of contemporary music. And it was an extraordinary group of people who really put on some fantastic concerts, and I learned a lot. It was a rather short period, 2 or 3 years, but I did a lot of traveling with them to Japan and to United States, as well as in Europe.
Sie gelten als einer der weltbesten Tenöre überhaupt, die es gibt, mit einem sehr weiten Repertoire von Early Music, von Barockmusik bis in unsere zeitgenössische Musik hinein. Es geht aber, glaube ich, haben Sie mal gesagt, es geht immer darum, zu kommunizieren mit der Musik, mit den Mitspielern, mit dem Publikum, mit sich selber.
I think I don't have the most wonderful voice. There are singers the public go to because the sound is so magnificent, and that's particularly so in opera. That's not my way, but I have a voice which I think really can put across text. I love to communicate ideas through singing, whether that's Liederabend with Winterreiser or Die Schöne Müllerin or Dichterliebe, or whether it's a Bach Passion or more contemporary music, and I sing a lot of Benjamin Britten, of course. To me, it's always about getting the audience, the public, to think as well as to just listen or enjoy the music. Because I think the greatest music, and this is very particularly true, you know, perhaps of Bach, should disturb us. The end of the first half of the John Passion, first part of the John Passion, is Rühre mein Gewissen, and I always think that is really the object of my singing, is to make people a little bit uncomfortable, to have to use their brains as well as just their ears.
Legendär sind ja die beiden Produktionen, die Peter Sellers in Berlin inszeniert hat, die Simon Rattle dirigiert hat, und wo die Matthäus-Passion und später dann die Johannes-Passion von Bach szenisch dargestellt worden sind. Also mit unglaublicher Intensität, fand ich. Selbst wenn man im Fernsehen zugeschaut hat, hat das sehr berührt. Ging Ihnen das auch so als Mitwirkender, als Evangelist?
These were two of the most important productions I've been involved with. Particularly impressive was this concentration on really looking at the pieces and making sure that we understood what we were telling. Too often the passions are just performed because it's Easter time, and the public is left really sort of listening to a ritual that is not really thought through. Peter Sellers in particular made me look absolutely at every line that I was singing and to make sure that there was a reason, an intention behind everything. But also in the Matthäus in particular, it was a little bit as if the evangelist was experiencing the whole story in his own body, because that is, in a way, what we're asked to do with the passions. Passio means suffering.
Suffering, yes.
In a way, we must dare to look at the suffering in these pieces. Bach was not writing music to comfort us particularly. He was really writing music to make us think and to imagine again the suffering of somebody. And these are the things that should be apparent to us when we are present at a performance of the Passions, because I believe that is what Bach was doing.
In dieser Spielzeit sind Sie bei den Berliner Philharmonikern Artist in Residence. Das ist eine Anerkennung, das ist was ganz Besonderes. Wie wichtig ist denn für Künstler, gelobt zu werden, Anerkennung zu haben?
I have always gone step by step through my career. I don't really have ambitions as such. I love what I do. I really get a huge amount of pleasure from rehearsing. If it's, you know, Winterreise for the 100th time, I love working on this repertoire. I believe that it's some of the greatest art we have, and to be sort of living in it is a huge privilege. Of course, it's wonderful to be acknowledged and know that people enjoy what you do and appreciate what you do, but it's not for any kind of outside reward. That is extra. You know, working with other musicians, this is what is such a great pleasure.
Kommen wir mal zurück zu Ihrem Programm, das Sie in Heidelberg singen werden. Da muss ich nachschauen. Das erste Stück, was Sie singen, da geht es um ein, wie heißt der? Da geht es um Tom O'Bedlam's Song. Das ist sehr mysteriös für Deutsche. Ich glaube, jeder Engländer weiß, was da gemeint ist.
Not necessarily. Tom O'Bedlam is a really old poem. So it's from just prior to Shakespeare. It was a sort of street ballad. And Bedlam is essentially Bethlehem, which refers to the hospital, which is hospital for mental illness. And it was a terrible place. This is somebody who sort of escaped from the hospital. And it's a really rather wonderful piece of music, and it's just tenor and cello. Mm-hmm. It was written for Peter Peers, and it's a very, very expressive and haunting piece of music. Bennett is not a very well-known composer, but he did study with Boulez, but he then developed into much more of a jazz player and wrote a lot of very enjoyable songs.
Manchmal erklären Sie, bevor Sie eine Komposition singen, erklären Sie dem Publikum mit ein paar Worten, worum es sich handelt. So habe ich es jedenfalls gelesen. Werden Sie das in Heidelberg gerade bei diesem unbekannten Thema auch tun?
I should think about it. If we can help the audience to really enjoy something, I think it's a good idea.
Dann kommt ein Patmos Circle, also eine Folge von, ich glaube, 11 Stücken, die ein österreichischer Komponist, Thomas Larcher, direkt für Sie geschrieben hat. Es geht um Heimat da drin, um die Alpen, um Tirol, um Österreich. Was ist denn das?
Yes, I first met Thomas Larcher at his festival in Wattens, which is just outside of Innsbruck. He's very much from the Tirol. And these songs were written really to explore, I think, his attitude to this landscape. And I think the narrow valleys of this Tirol can be very claustrophobic for people. And there's this great sense that one needs to almost escape. There's the Almauftrieb, we call it in English transhumance. Every year the cattle leave from where they've been looked after over winter and go up into the upper pastures. Quite difficult, these little poems. They're very short. The first song lasts about 20 seconds. But there's a great sort of atmosphere that's built up. And I think that he originally wrote it for just piano and voice, although the piano has preparations, some rubber wedges and different things put into the piano to make different sounds. He then orchestrated it for big orchestra, and I performed it with the BBC Symphony Orchestra and also with the Bayerischer Rundfunk Orchestra.
In the Elbphilharmonie. And you come in a small Sie kommen in einen kleinen, sehr schönen alten Saal in Heidelberg und ohne Orchester. Mit wem spielen Sie das dann? Mit dem Wiener Klaviertrio? Alle drei spielen da mit und begleiten Sie?
Yes, so Thomas has now arranged it for the Vienna Piano Trio and we have performed it several times in this small version. I think it works extremely well. And also, you know, with contemporary music, and I do quite a lot of contemporary music, it's really exciting to have the opportunity to perform more than once. Sometimes new music is written and then it disappears almost straight away. And you put a lot of effort in, a lot of time to learning.
Glauben Sie, dass ein anderer Tenor das singen wird, weil es Patmore Circle heißt? Kann ich mir eigentlich gar nicht vorstellen.
I really hope so. I think that I can imagine quite a lot of tenors really enjoying it. It's not super difficult to learn. It's a delicate piece, but one that audiences have responded to extremely well.
Dann zum Schluss in Heidelberg, Ihr Heidelberger Programm, Schubert, sehr romantische Themen, die gesungen werden. Da geht es um Abschied, um Vollmond, um einen Bach, der plätschert, um Heimweh, um alles so. Also das ist wirklich Romantik zurückgebracht an den Ort, wo sie nicht nur, aber wo sie auch entstanden ist, nämlich in Heidelberg.
Yes, I mean, Schubert has got such, I find him the most personal composer. He's almost like a friend. He's vulnerable. He really sort of allows his heart to be very apparent, both to the performers and to the audience. I think you're allowed into a real human contact with Schubert as a composer. So he touches us deeply. We feel his pain and his loneliness, the tragedy of his very short life, often through these songs. And yet he can write music which is of contentment and of real happiness. There's a wonderful song, Der Winterabend, takes place, you know, in a quiet room by himself, with the only visitor being the moon, the moonlight, which spreads across the furniture and the walls. And this is one of the songs that it's a magical song. It puts us into that room and makes us understand how little we can be satisfied with, how simple pleasures can be.